Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Alright, let's read from the word of God in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, the love series, part 10. Amen. Love series part 10. Maybe we should just continue preaching about love so that till we all fall in love with each other and, like I used to say, instead of you to be praying and fasting and saying, God, show me my husband, show me my wife. If we all love each other, it will be easy. You know, just using wasting anointing to look for wife and husband. You know, if we all loved each other, like brothers and sisters. Somebody called me some years ago and said she needed counseling. After she got married to her husband, then they didn't have anything to talk about. They would just be in the palace staring at each other. You know, when the brother was running after her, the brother is a strong prayer warrior. You know, so he was always going to her house, talk about Bible, talk about, you know, marriage, talk about everything. But because they are both very spiritual people, so after they got married, they didn't know what to talk about. So the lady was concerned that, this marriage has started failing. So she called me. As if I'm supposed to know everything. You know, so she called me and I said to her, you married a husband, but your husband should be your friend. Forget that you are married to him, be his friend. I say maybe it's that title, husband, wife, that is causing the confusion. Forget that you are married, that we ate rice last week. Just that person in your house, be that person's friend. And you know, they went through a lot of challenges. They lost about maybe 6 or 7 children. Yeah. It's a challenge. So, you know, the things we hear or people bring to us sometimes as pastors, they don't respect your age. They just bring this problem. You know, she had twins like 3 times. And at the toward the 9 months, the world died. So they had to evacuate. And she had one. At some point, she wasn't even getting pregnant again. It was very depressing for 2 powerful prayer warriors to be going through that kind of thing. Nobody should lose a child. It's not a palatable experience. So when we teach about love, before you talk to somebody, look at the person's face very well. The person may not be thinking about you. The person may have his own problem. Before you say, oh, you don't greet, you don't be careful. People are going through a lot. You know, there was a time she came in from her state where she lives, came to church here to talk about this problem. And the husband doesn't like to talk because it's a prayer worry. But you see, even in medicine, you are not allowed to treat yourself or your family members. That's why we have a community. That's why we are here, to pray with you, join faith with you, so that we can all rejoice together. So today she has another set of twins. And I think they're about maybe 4 or 5 years now or so. So it's such a pleasure to see what Jesus can do. But when you are trying to get married, nobody knew what would happen. People just came to your wedding and ate rice and shook your hands. But it became a battle. That's why we are teaching all these things now, so that you can be strong spiritually. So that even if God wants to answer your prayer, Satan will not have occasion to raise a charge against you. That why do you want to help her? She lives in unforgiveness. So these are spiritual things. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. We'll take this in after this. Do you have Message translation? Let's take this first. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers the multitude of sins. So Peter was speaking to the body of Christ, to the church he wrote this letter to, and he was telling them that they should love each other deeply. You know, the emphasis is on deeply. Love each other deeply. Love each other like you are in love. That's what Peter is saying. That it's possible for us to love each other and we will not abuse it. It's possible. You know, if God's word is saying this, that means it is possible. The only problem is that the world did some extra work trying to convince us that it is not possible. But some of us have sisters and brothers at home. You don't feel like abusing them or sleeping with them because they are blood. We share the blood of Christ. That's what runs in our spiritual vein. And God is saying, look, my children, I want you to, this message translation, love each other as if your life depends on it. So if you keep calling that sister and she says, why are you always calling? Say, 1 Peter 4:8. The word of God says, I should love you as if my what? My life depends on it. Some people are scared of love because of past experience. But what Peter is saying, I should tell you, is that I should love you as if my life what? Depends on it. So that tomorrow when you meet some guy out there that is trying to abuse you and take advantage, you will say, look, in my church, this one is small. If you come to my church, from the gate, we'll be hugging you. And we are not even interested in anything. We just see we love you. Don't let the world define the context of your relationship with your brother or with your sister. And just because others are messing it up doesn't mean everybody is doing it. Say amen. Give me King James Version. Above all things, have fervent charity amongst yourselves, for charity or love does what? Covers a multitude of sins. Multitude of sins. This scripture is the reason why, despite all your anointings, the things you have been doing, God can still stay with you. If God is asking you to do this, it's because that's what He's doing for you. Hallelujah. I say if God is asking you to have fervent love, to love your neighbors, it's because that is what you are also benefiting from Him. Hallelujah. Come on, say, I have love in my spirit. I have love for the brothers and my sisters in Christ. So God does not expect you to show love to anybody if you have not showed it to your Christian brothers and sisters. Sometimes out of love, you will refrain from speaking. When somebody is doing something and you want to burst out of love and respect, you refrain. One of the greatest challenges that I've seen people who are in church a long time, they face, is this challenge. Somewhere in our minds, we are not saying it deliberately. But we think God is unfaithful. Are you here? I said somewhere in our minds, we are not bold enough to say it, but we think God is unfaithful. You can't understand why up till now your prayers are not answered. And that is arrogating unfaithfulness to God. Meanwhile, in our old churches, they say the Lord knows what He will do. He knows what He's going to do. He's not going to necessarily go through your method. The Lord knows what He is going to do about that matter. So it's good to pray and fast, but God knows what He's going to do. At the end of the day, you are going through Ekpe. God is going through Kaura Namoda. But we will all get there. To be established in God's love is one of the, you know, okay. My heart is yours, my soul we give. carries your my soul.
My soul.
God, that's how to do it. Don't come with a performance mode. Come with reckless abandon in your heart. Like you are coming to spend time with God. This mindset and posture can make you enter into the Shekinah glory without singing. It's just a heart that is loved. And some of you have never been sinners in your life. You are born again from your mother's womb, so you don't really know what it means to be a sinner. But for some of us who have been homosexuals and we have done so many things, we know where he picked us from. Huh? We started smoking Ishano. You know what they call Ishano? That was where we started. And then God took it from us. We've experimented with all kinds of things, child pornography, whatever. And God said, it is you I will use. Ah! This God must have hope, oh. That I just sees you like this, say you, I go use you. So when you come to pray, don't come like a prayer warrior, like you've come to break down the gates of heaven with your prayer. Say, if somebody wants to break your door, will you open the door? You open the door. You come to God's place as if it be. You want to break down with your fire. Just calm down. Love your way in. Hallelujah. Love your way. Tell your neighbor, love your way in. So when you want to choose a spouse or a wife or a husband or somebody you want to get married to, you are looking at this person and you are asking, does this person understand the pathway, the journey into the presence of God? So that when you are praying, it's not when your husband come and tap you, where is the food? You know there are some men, they are very terrible. They can't go to the kitchen and say, where's my lunch? And they can see that you are praying. Or some women, who know that the only time you don't argue is when you are praying. Say, want to buy water. Because that culture is what your children are going to meet. That's what they are going to take up. So I realize that I can actually live in the presence of God. Not because I can sing. It's a state of the heart. And I'm just there. And I need to protect the presence of God in my life by my heart posture. My heart posture. When I imagine that when Jesus comes, we are all going to be sitting with him on that throne. Huh? We are going to be sitting together. Some of you that preach and say, Jesus, the day you see, you can't mention his name. I know in the US, there's no mate. In the UK, everybody is Frank, Edward, all those. When you see Jesus, you see me, you will know that he's not your mate. And yet he says he loves you. When you see, you just prostrate, say, Emma Binu, make una no vessel. Now you be Jesus. You see, John that used to hug him, when he saw him in Revelation, he fell down as dead. John, no. So if God says he loves you better believe it. It's not a joking matter. This the love of God must just be real to you. You've got to find your way to that point. I'm telling you, that is the only way you, out of the love of God, you can give to others. And if you decide to marry because you like the stiletto, you know, this world is a wicked place. Sometimes social media, they will begin to trend some body shapes and body types. Say, if you are not big, if you are not fat, you are not there. Then all of you go and start looking for a solution to your problem. Then after like 2 years, they'll come back and say, no, it's the slender ones now. Unfortunately, you're already fat. You can't come back to. So you now start journeying your way back. Every product has its customer. You don't need to worry. So if you focus on social media, they will push you into the gutter. Find the people God has put around you by spending time in God's presence. The day you see them, your hearts will connect. Because whether you are a stiletto or whatever it is you are, whether you have a lot of money in your account, a time will come, everybody will go through his own trial. Everybody will go through his own trial. It is only how much of a journey you have had with God that determines your ability to stay true and go through that dark phase. Yeah. Yeah. So God wants us to be strong spiritually. He doesn't want us to become angry simply because we are going through challenges. He doesn't want us to cast off our faith simply because we have more questions than answers. The only way that will happen is when you can look into the eyes of the one you love and you can say, well, I don't have all the answers, but I love you. The one I love is ever before me. It seals upon my heart. I live for the one I love. The one I love, oh.
The one I love is ever before me. It seals upon my heart. I live for the one I love.
The one I love, oh. At the end of the day, at the end of this love series, I can get everybody to that point where we take our relationship with God with every sense of responsibility, we would have achieved something. It is the presence and the love of God in the heart of a man that changes a man, not how much the man is hearing or listening to. And the kind of messages you are listening to will determine the kind of Christian you will be. If you listen to only warfare and battles and all, you always have dreams and you're always fighting. Yeah? People do not even realize that there is a warfare of love. There's a battle. That's why Satan is always contending with you. The moment Satan paints a clear picture of God's unfaithfulness to you, one of the ways you will know is that you are not saying God is at fault, but you stop coming to church. You are angry, but you don't want people to talk, so you first withdraw. Some people will even lie and say they want to pray. Like the brother that was supposed to be here on a Sunday and said God told him to stay at home. That's what he said, you know, many years ago. And then Pastor Desmond came and asked that who bears this name here? It was the brother that didn't come. If you want to hear God, it's not like that one. You want to start hearing God from the high things. No. You will start with small things, like Bible study. I know you want to enter into the interstellar dimensions of the Spirit of God. And you want to begin to invade the eternal space and begin to secure territories in the planetary bodies. You need to learn how to secure your stomach first. Learn how to fast. You can't leave your food, skip two meals, but you want to take the interstellar dimensions of the galactic space. They may end up taking you. Yeah. You start looking for what is not there in the Bible. You'll be looking for strange things. If the Bible says love yourself, you'll be looking for that love. Maybe there's a galactic interpretation to it. You say, it's love. Love is love. You're looking for what is not there. See, I can go and look for my message on YouTube. How to know if you are backsliding or something. I preached it on Wednesday. It was a Wednesday service. But it's on YouTube. How to know a backslider or something like that. Something on backsliding, yeah. I gave many steps. Don't pray. Just listen to the message. Don't pray. If you pray, you may forget. Just listen to that message, whatever you see there. Because the problem with King James Bible is that when you study it, it was written with the context of that reality of that time. They didn't have social media in the olden days. So you may not know that what you are doing is the equivalent of a sin already captured. Like lasciviousness, uncleanliness. Maybe if we finish this series, if the Lord permits me, I will come and teach you about the different categories of angelic and spiritual authority given to us by Paul. You will now understand why Satan has held many of us at the ground level. That ground level is called principality. Ground level marks you with certain principles. You flout them, they hold you there. Even when God says, "This is my child," they will say, "This is the offense he has committed." So when the Lord says, "My body, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit," then you take the body to a boy's house. Huh? You take that body to God. You have defied the temple of the Lord. So when Satan holds you and places a charge against you, then you now begin to say, "God forgive." It's not just forgiveness. You have been charged to court. So when you read the Bible, read it with two eyes and the spiritual one. There are a lot of young prophets online now, and they are preaching about the third eye. Who has seen some of those people online? Young prophets, so they are prophets, young guys. Say the third eye. The third eye is an occultic realm. I understand what they are saying, except that they are already navigating into dangerous places. So if you don't accept this simple message of love and all of this, you'll be looking for third eye. Because you are looking for something esoteric. And believe me, it's not because I'm not anointed. Believe me, I'm not angry at anybody. I'm just telling you the truth. Like I said to that brother that day, I had to call Pastor Igo to me. Go and call that guy. They called him. He said he was at home. I said, "Start coming now." Pastor Desmond was very angry on that particular day. So when the brother rushed in, before the end of it, I went to him or daughter and said, and some of you must have been here. You must have remembered that day. I said, "Pastor Desmond, the brother is around." Pastor Desmond told me there's nothing I can do. He told me here. I said, "He's here." I went to call him. I said, "I beg." I started speaking to him in English. I said, I beg. He said, "Okay, let him come." Prayed for him. But me, I knew the anointing to pray for him had been lifted. What he did was just to cover face. So, question. God told you to stay at home. Then a guest minister came and said, "The Lord has given me a word for somebody bearing this name. And you are the only one bearing that name in the church." So, who is lying? Test every spirit. It is not God simply because it seems deep. It may not necessarily be God because it sounds. It may be, but that you are already in the forest. I'm not saying God doesn't speak deep things. I say you won't get there on the first day of your journey. You start with on Bible study. I mean, we all have Bibles on our phone, but many people actually open it? You most likely open TikTok and Instagram. So why are we kidding ourselves and saying we are spiritual? To be spiritual means to be conscious of the spiritual life, the spirit man. To be conscious of God. To live your life according to the dictates of God. To live a life powered by the spirit of God's love. That's what it means to be spiritual. Not to be using deep language. You may just be a grammarian that found his way to the pulpit. So I called the boy and I warned him. I said, number one, God can never ask you to violate a clear scripture when he says, "Do not forsake the assembly." The moment God said, "Don't go out," you should have known that was the devil. Because God will never violate his own word. Especially one that is documented. Are you with me? "Oh, God told me to do it. God told me to do it. God told me she's my wife." Before you tell me God told you she's your wife, you will first prove to me how many things the Lord has said to you in your own private life, that has actually panned out. I'm not saying you won't make mistakes when learning to hear God's voice. I'm just telling you that to grow in these things, it takes time. I was called into the office of a prophet January 1, 2000, 12 a.m. 2000. This is 22 years now. I still cannot claim to you that I know everything about the prophetic. My first advent into the prophetic was in 1994-95, when that pastor I was meeting for the first time laid down on me and said, the Lord told me to bring you into the order of the prophetic. I was in his parlor. I went there with my dad. I fell under the altar. I started prophesying. But I didn't come into the prophetic office till 2000. So between the first initial initiation and the second one, if I prophesied, I only prophesied based on scriptures. The inspiration could only go towards scriptures. But the day Pastor Ayo laid hands on me and said, by the laying hands of the elders, I welcome you to the prophetic precipice. I still remember those words. The oil flowed. I started prophesying the gift of the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirit, tongues and interpretation, and prophecy started operating at once. And believe me, if you want to be a strong prophet, you must know the life of love. Yeah. Yeah. Because the life of a prophet is filled with power. It is only love that will stabilize him. And any gift, if you have been gifted in a very special way by the Lord, please, don't look for more power to stabilize yourself. Look for love. Look for accountability. Look for structures. And be humble. One day, Pastor came. He came here and said, he brought his son. He now said that his son has been sick. He mentioned one condition. And the doctor said they should bring the boy for surgery. Pastor said nobody will operate his child. Pastor, I brought the boy. He said, Benga, you have healing anointing. Pray for this boy. I was looking at Pastor like, it's like you don't know me. You came to the wrong person. Pastor, you know, I was shocked that Pastor, the person that ordained me, could be so humble as to ask me to pray for him. I said, Pastor. He said, Benga, me o share o. I'm not joking, no. I said, Pastor, you want to recollect the anointing you gave me that day? And if you see Pastor the day he wants to rebuke you, you will not believe it because you will think it's a joke. You know, sometimes people won't lay at Pastor, doesn't get angry. Go and ask people that live with him. They are here. So out of shame, out of respect, I prayed for the boy. So I now saw Pastor in another meeting. And I said, Benga, thank you. I said, what happened? He said, the boy has been doing well since then. No? I said, hey. You know, even me, I didn't believe. You see this God there? Faith is the ground. But I've prayed prayers I didn't believe and God heard. So that one, you can argue with your keypad. Because you know this one is God. You just prayed out of frustration. But God decided that I want to use one Yoruba, but this is not Yoruba church. I'm persuaded that. Well, so to live a life of love is a decision. It's not a baptism that you will fall under the anointing and then you wake up and start loving people. No. You will decide from today. Because you have one heart, you have the capacity to love. And who you give that heart and that love to is your decision. But that you will not love something is a lie. You will either love God or mammon. Even when you are trying to tell yourself, I'm a man of my own, even God and Satan, they are laughing at you. Because now, if you go to Google, I mentioned this on our online service. Type the God gene. There's a gene in our bodies. Science have described. I call it the God gene. God gene. That is the gene that has been traced with the desire to always seek for God or supernatural things. That human instinct is in your genetics. God left his signature in your genes. That even if you don't believe there is God, one day you just go, but all this world cannot just be like this now. Everything is just, there must be something somewhere. Then you start pursuing. You start finding, you start searching till you find God. Ecclesiastes chapter 1 said that God has hidden eternity in our heart so that men should not search for anything after him. There's something God put in us that yearns for him. That when man fell from sin, God left that signature there. So that peradventure in a particular generation, somebody will arise and say, I'm going back to my source. Even if your friends say, ah, no, nobody's going to church in this house. I'm a Christian family. We are serving Amadioa. We are serving. God says, peradventure, every third and fourth generation, there will be a window for somebody to break out of a curse. Third and fourth. That means when you are going through a challenge, something that has happened in your family, try to trace the number. Go. Okay, grandfather, father, so you are the third. So that means between the third and the fourth, God gives allowance for a rehab. A rehab that their generations have been cursed, that no Moabite will come before God's presence. God gave a window that peradventure somebody will stand. It was not the Holy Spirit that said, Rehab, it's your turn. It was a decision and posture that marked her. And she became she entered the lineage of Christ. Even though by prophecy she was restricted. Your position and your posture, where you stand, is very important. It's as important as your prophecy. One pastor was sent to Africa, one of these African nations from the West. Maybe it was American or so. And after spending so many years, about 40 years or so, in I think it was maybe Eastern Africa or so, or Southern Africa, he didn't have one convert. One, he learnt the language, learnt their way of life, but he had no major convert. And one day he asked the Lord, he said, I have failed you. Let me go back to my country and die there. And he was praying, he was asking for permission to go back. You know, and when I read those things, it touches me. Because some people say, God told me she's my wife. God told me she will be my husband. Now you guys are having issues. And you decide to leave the relationship without the permission of the person who brought you. You don't have that power. It seems that when people say the Lord said, it is just a Christian way of saying I like her. It's not that God said. It's not that God said. It's just a Christian way of saying, instead of saying we are toasting, we are just saying, I like her, and she's a Christian. Because in those days, when you say God said, my brother, only God can release you from that wahala. You can't even get angry and say, I will divorce you. You're in trouble. Want to divorce? You don't know what you are saying. Sir, I beg to differ. You can't. We die here. You can't. Divorce. After you stood before the church of God and said, I thank God the Holy Spirit led me to my wife. You now said something happened. Uh-huh. Even if she gave you stone to eat for breakfast, she gave you stone and to eat and you became angry, you will take the matter back to the person who brought you here. So we have people speaking empty words. Nobody means anything. And then we wonder why the power of God is not strong in our midst. Empty words. Love you. I'm going to take care of you. Empty words. People are speaking empty words and using God's name to lie. And God has suffered from this problem. That's why he sent us to advise people. Stop using my name in vain. Tell me you love me. Don't start this lie around. Because me, I know they wake up for 6 o'clock. Oh. If I was delayed, I would tell you. I don't wake up. I do Netflix overnight too. Oh. Are you sure it's still God? I don't like people screaming when praying. No, oh. I heard you are in the prayer band. So you will test him and see whether his leg will shake. I'm eye maintenance, so she will see my nails. Test him. Say, God will help us. God will help us. Why is it that when people get married and they have 2-3 children, they stop falling in love with each other? You may go into that love with agape mixed with Eros. You know Eros? You know Eros? Don't ask me to explain. Go online and check. Eros. But if you want to sustain that marriage, it's agape. Agape. Because that lady will not continue to look that way. Huh? She will not continue to look that way. And God wants the church to be the citadel of healthy relationships. Healthy relationships. Now, when they are looking for churches with the lowest divorce rate, or communities, they come to the church. Not when the world, church is competing with the world at the court. Say, we came first. You say, you came yesterday, you came first. So the question now arises, that what is the pastor teaching you? Come on, say, Lord, have mercy. Let's read Romans chapter 12, I believe. We are going to have Holy Communion today. Praise God. And after this, I think third Sunday of this month, I'm going to stop this love series for a while. So we'll have love feast. So love feast. All this preaching and preaching and preaching, let's finish it with food. So Romans 12 chapter 9 and 10. So for all of you that have been wondering, maybe when this love thing, it will end it with food. The Bible says the apostles went from house to house breaking bread. That bread was not the word of God, it was real bread. And if you may not know, it's not this bread you are buying at 900 naira now. It's that bread, this Ghanaian bread, very long. They broke it. Oh yeah, take. The same bread, break. The bread must be hard for it to be breakable. It's not that one that once you put your hand, you can't find the bread again. Like, yeah. This, they increase the price, but the number of slices are reducing. And all of you who preached against Wagonya and all those agege bread, God has caught you. Because you are going back to your first love. Ooh, those women are waiting for you. Say, customer, you are back. Say, we are back. Oh. How much be bread? He says, it's 400 naira. Ah, it's 400 naira. Say, ah. Yeah, bring two. Because children go chop. Wife said, go chop. She knows you will come back. So it's not, she just say, they say it's not buying her. So he will come back. He will come back. No two ways. He's coming back. When you see bread, I buy bread 2.5. Wow, there's one small bread that I buy. 2.5. And that bread is not for everybody. Because just take small, then take a cup of tea. It's the bread of life. So you don't give people bread when they visit you, except you love them. They must be very special people with a cup of tea. Those days that you just give people bread because you don't want to go to kitchen. So those days are over. You must really love that person to give them sliced bread and a cup of tea and, you know, or coffee. And you are just having a conversation. So if I know that you are the kind of person I don't like, I'll just buy my granite and gari. Keep it on the table. As you can say, bro, food is here. Oh. Sis, then you say, don't worry, bro. Then I'll open the Bible, I'll be sharing with us. Those are things we did as brothers in Christ. Amen. But listen, when there's love in a house, it's not really about what you have or what you don't have. So, love will free you from the terror of and the snares of Satan. Those ones, you know, I was doing a little research online on how malaria parasites. I think maybe one day they'll just give me one honorary degree for all courses. Because I just read all kinds of things. So I was researching on why some people would treat malaria and after 1 week they still come down with malaria. And my doctor has been lying to me, my own doctor. And he's collecting money. The day we took my daughter to that hospital for 3 days, I think we paid about 200,000. Just injection and the food. And my daughter didn't know that he get why. You understand? So when they ask her, oh, Isi, what would you like to have for lunch? Would you like to have rice? I said, no, I don't want rice. And when she would start pointing at different things. Ha! I didn't know that it would. I didn't know it was the bill that was waving at me. My brother, when they brought the bill, about 250 or something, I knew it was the food. I knew. I saw the next time they can say, we'll bring our food. HMO will cover the rest. Almost. But you know, I was doing that research. I was trying to find out why people still fall sick after they've treated malaria and they feel better. And I realized that those parasites, they live and survive in the liver. What is the function of the liver? What is the function of the liver? Detoxification. It provides, purifies the blood. Formation of red blood cells. And for malaria to thrive, or malaria parasite, they need blood. So those parasites hide there. But you won't know they are there. You will think you are okay. You go and play ball, the rain will beat you. You know the way we used to play in those days, the rain will beat us on the field. You come back, you'll be shaking at home. Some of you have never played, but you are looking at me as if you are not the one I'm talking to. So when you now get stressed, maybe you went to work and you had to do some extra shifts, you feel stressed. The moment stress enters that body, the liver will just pump out. Inside that pumping, the parasite flows back into your bloodstream. They're like, ah, now wow, even this quarantine, hey, only God knows what we are buying these days. Oga, it's not quarantine. There is something in your liver that is comfortable, that allows and permits those parasites to live there. How much is those? Are those drugs to buy? 1.5, 2,000, 1.8. There's a drug, malaria drug, 20,000, 3 days. I used it once. You know when they said 20,000, I shouted like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, whoa! I'm not sick." 20,000, 3 days. My wife told me to get a drug for my daughter. And while I got it, the drug was 13,000. I was still trying to be a man to pay for that drug. I just asked her, so what do you guys have for drug-resistant malaria? Oh, they said there's this drug is really good, you know. Blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, let me see. I said, oh, this looks good. So how much is it? They said 20. You know, it's like I wasn't, like my ears stopped for like 20,000. For I said, how many weeks? They said it's just 3 days. Ha, Then the pharmacy told me, sir, if you use this drug and you complain again, say this drug will insulate you for 1 year, at least. You won't be sick for 1 year, at least. I said, wow. And I asked him, how does it work? He said it goes into the liver, clears out those things hiding in the liver, acting as if they are part of the house. As if they are house owners, but they are strange tenants, strange bedfellows, hiding in your liver. It will clear out what is in the blood, then go into the liver and sit there for 1 year. So before the stress holds you, it picks it. You will now notice that you felt a bit funny, you went to bed, you woke up, you start feeling better again. So it's both, how did he call it? He called it both curative and preventive. So, I want to explain to you with all that wrenchy why the love life of many believers have become so challenged and it has become resistant to drugs. Give me that scripture. See, as a teacher, I have to make sure I tell you in a way that you will not forget. This is not intergalactic dimension of the supernatural realm. I just want to tell you what it is. So be humble enough to see it. Give me King James first. Let's look at the main text before we look at the other context. Let love be without what? Dissimulation. This is a new word for you. It's a word for the week. Dissimulation. Let love be without. That means there's an element that God says has been found to react negatively with love, but is present in the lives of many people. Are you with me now? God said that parasite is called dissimulation. Give me amplified. Let's go down to what dissimulation is. Let your love be sincere. A real thing. Hate what is evil. Loathe all ungodliness. Give me New King James. Want to drill down. Want to know who is this satanic agent living with us. Let love be without. Are you home now? Share this here. We are breaking need. All strange, esoteric, intergalactic language must be broken down to where everybody, even if you're a new believer in Christ, you must understand. God says there's an element that has been found among those who say they are lovers in Christ. And that thing is counterproductive to the reality of God and to the plan of God for their life. And God said that thing is what? Hypocrisy. That means the greater your love for God, the higher the potential for hypocrisy. That's why there are many things in God that you can never observe if you are always on the fast lane. It is only as you are patient, walking with the Lord. Patience does not mean you are slow. It means you are walking only when you see Him walking. The Bible says He has given us a direction and a step in 1 Peter that we should only walk so that we can walk in the same way that He has walked. So we are. It's not that we are slow. We just need to find out where God is putting His feet. Then we put our own feet there. That's all. It's not because we don't know how to jackpot. It's not because we don't have options. It's not because we could not admire some other person. Huh? My wife was not looking for me when she married me. I also was not looking for her. Two gave four. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not as if maybe, oh, I will die if I don't marry her. No, she didn't like me and I didn't like her. It was not like, oh, I will try and convince her. Who told you that you must love a woman before you marry her? What the Bible says is that love your wife, not the girl you like. When you wake up in the morning and find out she's the one beside you, are you my wife? Yes, okay, love her. People deceive themselves, put all their love energy into a girl they've not married. Then they now get married, nothing to show to love again. Start picking fault in the girl. God didn't ask you to love that one. When you marry her, now you now realize that to love is not easy. Because the last time she came to her, she had this makeup and everything was pre, everything was. But now you see her, onroro. Or the brother you thought, I don't know how to interpret that, God will help you. But the brother you thought was, only Pastor Winnie is always in suit, three pieces, looking very handsome. That I really don't have a toothbrush in my house. It's Paco I use. Like, what? No, we can't do it. So, Omo, this is where me and my God, we have been living in this house. I use Paco. This is what my grandparents trained me with. I grew up with my grandparents. Paco, see, there are some new ones there if you like. You can. Or like my wife used to accuse me when we first got married. Every time we are eating together, you know, she's on this side of the table, I'm on this side. And then the spoon is always making contact with my teeth. You know, me, I'm just enjoying the food. I'm not aware somebody's annoyed. So one day she was like, is it possible to eat without... She was trying not to hurt me. You know, that's the first thing. I thought everybody is... We are all going through the same thing. Like, I didn't realize she wasn't eating that way. So I said, let me try. The thing still knocked. It still knocked the... I said, You won't know until they said, do it. You now realize that, oh, this is not easy. Oga, we don't marry this one. Okay, now we do go to correct. Now we do go to correct. Oh, more. And after all the, we are just married just 2 weeks. So, sheesh. How we go do? And they say it forever. Oh, you okay? You are complaining. Why did you go and look for a ras person like yourself? You are not complaining that they are correcting you. Let me tell you, our capacity for hypocrisy. Most people who say, this is the way I am. I don't lie. If I don't like you, I don't like you. They are the most hypocritical. Those people who try to convince you that they know what they are doing. It's just that you've not found them. Everybody has elements of hypocrisy. When you go on LinkedIn and lie, see, I'm so happy to inform you that I just completed a series of training on cyber tech, on... you see, when you tell us all those things, that I was able to engage. You are using professional business language to talk to us. We that we have been on the street. Currently, I'm now into locomotive and re-engineering. And we are, what you are trying to tell us that you are a mechanic. You understand? You are trying to tell us that you are graduated from Baba CD and you are now a mechanic, but you want to package yourself. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong. I'm just telling you that those are the first elements of hypocrisy. I've been trained in locomotive engineering from 2000 series of the Audi and the... you just start speaking grammar and people are like, wow, wow. People will even like it and share it, but nobody will call you because they don't even understand what you are saying. For instance, I'm certified. I have a license to practice HR in Nigeria. License. I didn't say that I'm a certified HR. I said I have a license to recruit HR people. Huh? So I don't have time to tell you that I'm a re-engineered locomotive. If you understand, you understand. If you don't understand, that's your problem. But my customers know me, and I know them. Hypocrisy is very dangerous. And the first way to be free from it is to know that we all have elements of it. Say, let love be without hypocrisy. Our love must be sincere. That's what God is saying. So if I tell you, amongst us as believers, when I tell you something, that must be the truth as it is, based on as at that time T. If there is anything around that matter that I didn't tell you, it's because I didn't know. That's what God is saying. Because the scripture says that the devil is father of lies. So if the devil wants to get an inroad into a family system, it brings doubt and suspicion, where you are not sure if what he's saying is right or what she is saying is the truth. Then people begin to struggle. We begin to struggle with what maybe is the truth. Then you act a whole season film on that one. Season 7, trying to find out who killed him. They should come here and learn the way we do it in Yoruba, African magic. After they go around, at the end of it, somebody just come out the house, say, I asked him for money, he didn't give me money. So, and now, easy peasy. You go. It was the house girl. But they will fight that battle from Nigeria, go to America, fly to Russia, Turkey, Ukraine. Before they come back, season 7, almost everybody in season 1 has died. People have now inherited the... And if it's in my typical Korean film, those who died will still resurrect. Come back. Continue the fight. That's why I like Korean film. Everybody resurrect. What is hypocrisy? The pretense of having a virtuous character. Meanwhile, you know that's not you. Pretense. That's hypocrisy. There's a particular brother that came to my house with a sister. He wanted to get married to. The lady was, I think, somewhere in the US. She was a trained medical personnel. And they brought the brother to introduce to us. That finally, pastor, we have found a wife. That's why I don't tell people who their spouse is again. I don't tell them. Because no money dear. Only breaking of heart. If you come, Father will thank you. Let's join you. Bam. So pray well before you come. The lady sat there. She doesn't even plait hair. Can you imagine a medical personnel in the US that doesn't do all those? Bam, very quiet. I was even happy. Like, this lady is a Christian. She will be helping us to bring up this brother in the Lord. We are so happy. Are we? No. She's fine. Just got back from the airport. Blah, blah. We are happy. Because this is our brother. He's a Kura. So, he's a Kura. If you know what Kura is, he's a Kura. So, this lady is the one that God will use to help his ministry. So, I was happy. As we stood up to go at the door, I looked at the person again. The prophetic moved. I said, this is not his wife. I just dragged my wife back. We never see wife. Oh. I'm like, but you are the one I play with. Oh, you welcome to the family. Oh, see,
Anytime he does so, come and report him to me. My wife saw that talk. I said, God said, no, be him. He not just open my eyes. I said, we already approved. How do we disapprove? You know, in politics, there are only two languages, approve or disapprove. There's nothing else. That's why you can be in politics and you may not be educated. It's only two things you need to know. Approve or disapprove. That's why I can take someone that didn't go to school, that doesn't know where his certificate is, and he will be president because somebody approved. So I told my wife, we discussed her. I said, let's take this thing up. That this is a mistake. We try to land the matter, land it. The parents who are not getting you. See. Eventually they married. Me, I didn't go. I know they go for those kind of things. 3 months later, they were asking for divorce. 3 months. The fight started the same month. Manage. 3 months. Then they call family meeting. Call the pastor that joined them in church. All the pastors. They call them because they were big people in their church. Then they say, I should come too. They talk 3 hours, 4 hours, casting blame on each other. Meanwhile, the night before, we did VG. My wife was doing VG that God, as we are going for this meeting tomorrow, God must intervene. My wife said, I should come and pray. I said, I know they do emergency prayer. I said, I know they do. Tonight, now sleep. She was upset with me, but I went to bed. I didn't care. But before I went to bed, I now asked the Lord. You know, I boasted that that I would not pray. I beg. Anything, just any information I need. So that my boss can be in the Lord. So the next morning, the Lord just told me, this is the word of the Lord concerning this family. And the Lord told me, say there is a window of mercy that can be allocated. He said, and this is the condition they need to meet. He said, but none of them will meet it. It's not, you are not a prophet because you hear good things. You are a prophet because you can hear bad things and keep your sanity. These are my blood family members. I could have chosen to say, Rere Loluwa, God is good. But the word of the Lord in this context is not actually good. So we got to the meeting. The pastor was trying to settle quarrel. I kept quiet. They talked for 4-5 hours. Late in the evening, my father-in-law just said, my son is here. Benga, what do you have to say? I just stood up. This is the word of the Lord to these two people. Now, that statement is very bold. The moment I said this is the word of the Lord, if God truly spoke, what it meant is that no other conversation around this. This is what we are going to do. Don't say, you should be patient with each other. Oga, this is the word of the Lord for this family. The moment God speaks, there is no idea, suggestion. Can we do this? Out. The moment I spoke, and I said, the Lord also told me that none of you will fulfill the condition. I said, because this girl will not step down for you. That was it. They got their divorce certificate. But both of them, their lives have not been normal since then. You want God to use you? Are you willing to say the way he's saying it? Pretense. This is one poison that will be sucking out the life of God in you, and you will have a form of righteousness, but inside of you, your liver has been filled with parasites waiting for stress patterns to be released. Then they pump into your system. You now wonder why you can't pray or why you suddenly have become so aggressive. I told one of my friends, a man of God, I said, I saw him recently, and I said, see, Oga, go and take care of yourself. Go and take care of your health. If you die, God will look for another person. Go and take care of yourself. Oh, you may be a big man of God, you may be this, you may be that, but the truth of the matter is that if you die, God will move into another vessel and continue his work. Max, all of us, 100 years and we are gone. But pretense will take away your functionality in the spirit realm. The ability you have to be the best in God, to rise in stature and be the fullness of that which God wants you to, you will be lacking in it, because the moment Satan creates an idea around you that you are a pretender, you're a pretender. Then somewhere two of you will talk. It's like everybody is just pretending. That church has been destroyed. That family has been destroyed. Then when one of us is now drowning, asking for help, we say he's also pretending. Then we'll kill our own soldiers. Why can't we have people here who are struggling with their emotions come and say, I'm struggling? Because there's a quiet conversation going on around that. You will judge them. Meanwhile, we're all struggling. Is somebody here? So before you look at people on the outside and say, oh, this is, you have to look inwards. We cannot continue like this. We cannot continue like this. Hypocrisy must be taken out of our lives. And many times where you find hypocrisy, you will find manipulation and control. If you want to get married to a lady and she's she likes you and all of that, yeah, you have a nice dress sense. Bring her to your house. Let her see that you live in a one room. So if she wants to reject you, let her reject you now. My salary is 70,000, but I will be great in life. Let her know. You don't have to start wearing three-piece suit when there is no three-piece to your suit. If you are any 80,000, there's nothing wrong with starting a business. You don't need to give people an impression that you are okay online. Be posting nice pictures or using filters, and at the end of the day, your helpers think you are okay. Let me show you something the word of God says about hypocrites. The book of Job. Job 15:34. I want us, do you have your scriptures there? Let me read it for you. Or if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Job 15:34. For the congregation of the hypocrites shall be desolate. That's the word of God. The congregation of the hypocrites shall be what? Shall be desolate. They will be left alone last. Come on, say not me. So this is not a Christian scripture. God is just trying to tell you that if you're a pretender, if you are someone that sees everybody as being lower than you are or beneath you, you believe you are better than everybody, and yet you are also a pretender. God says the congregation of the hypocrite shall be desolate. First John chapter 4 verse 20. And please know that hypocrisy has a motive. Hypocrisy has a motive. 1 John chapter 4 verse 20. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. God didn't say he made mistake. God says he's a liar. And when God says you're a liar, you are of your father, the devil. If a man says he loves God, and yet cannot love his brother, you look at the person sitting beside you and think they are beneath you. And you thank God for where you are, because somewhere in your mind, you are already better than her. God says you are a liar. That means you belong to the evil one. We don't permit such behavior here. In the church of God, among our believers, children of God, we show our love for God by how we love our brothers. Don't worry, God is okay where he is. Love your neighbor. God is okay where he is. God is okay where he is. Forget that love you are claiming. Love your neighbor. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 5. Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast out the mote out of the eye of your brother. This is hypocrisy, life in action. Half time. Is somebody with me? These are the elements that by the time we arrive at love, these are the elements that would have been taken away from us. Hypocrisy. Aye. Matthew chapter 15, 7 to 9. Matthew 15, 7 to 9. You hypocrites, where did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain is your worship, because you teach for doctrines the commandment of men. Is somebody still here? Are you enjoying that scripture? That's Jesus in action. So when you shout, you are going to pray now, my father, and you shout, shout! But you don't have a personal communion life with God. God says your heart is far from me. Therefore, you will be given to the error of the commandments of men. 11 will help us. These things I'm sharing with you is for all of us. It's not it's a standard message for those who will listen. It's for all of us. So at every point in time, I must trust that if, for instance, I begin to have some kind of strange feelings towards my sister, instead of binding it and binding, and sometimes the more you bind, the feelings will be getting worse. I will come to her and say, see the key thing going on in my life. People should pray for me. The moment you expose it, bam, it's gone. But you want to make people feel that you are an anointed apostle. So you are praying, shouting, fire to remove it. Meanwhile, whatever you focus on will be magnified. The Lord will help us. Come on, say no more hypocrisy. Say, not among us. Not among us. Finally, we must not be found to elevate our estate more than our fellow brother or sister. When you are together and among the people of God, Christ is the only one that is above us. Refuse to be tempted. Pastor, I went to preach somewhere, and when they wanted to bring him up to preach, the man was introducing, he wanted to use pastor to steer the faith of people. See, he has been a man of God, he's a general of faith, he's a father in this nation, is this, is that. In fact, God uses him to raise the dead. You know, pastor, like, it's as if maybe they wanted to invite another person. Then man goes, pastor, it's time. Oh, is it me? I've never raised dead though. You know, the man wanted the people's faith to be high, so that when it's time to give, you give well. But pastor, I said, I've never raised the dead. In fact, if you have really been used to raise the dead, you can't take the glory, because you don't know how it happened. There was a brother that called me and said they were at the hospital, that they said the baby had died and they had to evacuate quickly. I was in another, where was I? Was he in Ghana or so? I can't remember where I was. The brother called Sha and said they are at the hospital now. They said the baby is dead. And I asked the brother, but what seest thou? I've heard what the doctor said, but you, what are you saying? He said, my baby is not dead. I said, that's all. Go and sleep. I called him back. The Lord says you should change your hospital. Change your hospital. 2 weeks later, went back to the new hospital. The baby was found now to be breathing. The baby resurrected, started living. By the time they went back for the second test, the 2 weeks that they calculated that the baby had lost when it died, it had regained it. So when they have that baby, I will fly to their city. I want to name that child. But what did I didn't do anything. I only said, be it unto you according to your faith. That's all. But I've also lost a baby. What would have been my own second child? So the thing about God, you really can't explain so many things. If God wants to do that miracle, he will do it. You won't even be able to share the glory, because you know you are too small. So as we come to the table of the Lord and we take our communion, there will be no pretense. If you have been in sin the last 1 week, you have a few minutes now to repent before the Lord as we partake of this body. Jesus said,
that whoever partakes of the bread and the wine is part of him. That means every time we take of the Holy Communion, we are reaffirming our union with the Lord. Are you blessed this morning? Are you blessed this morning? So repent of every hypocrisy. Repent of every sin. And ask the Lord for help. That you will behold him in the beauty of holiness. And that your ways will be pure before him. Pray in 1 minute. And pray for yourself.
I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercies and in fear of you. I will worship. I will come into your house in the multitude.